Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
How you doing, Chiefs Kingdom? And welcome to the Great British Chiefs Show with myself, our headlines editor, Tom Charles. On this week's show, we're going to be going over the grim watch that was the Chiefs' ugly loss to the Tennessee Titans. We'll also be looking at the Arrowhead Pride power rankings, and then finally, a small preview of Monday Night Football's game against the Giants. But first, some of you might have noticed that I'm not actually Brad Simcox. Brad's not here today because he can afford to go on an expensive holiday during half term when the kids are on holidays. So we've had to bring in someone different this week. So I'd like to welcome to the Great British Chiefs Show for the first time, Rocky Magana, the Arrowhead Pride contributor. How are you doing, Rocky?
Oh, doing good. You guys are just really scraping the bottom of the barrel to pull me in, huh?
I wouldn't call it that. Yeah. Admittedly, when Brad told me that he was going on an expensive holiday for half term and he couldn't do this podcast, I was like, who can I get in? I thought I'd ring Daniel Craig. He said no. I thought I'd call the Queen, but she's ill because, you know, all British people know the Queen personally. So we tried getting a British person on, but no, I'm happy to have you here, Rocky. I'm hoping that we can be like the best Anglo-American duo since Meghan and Harry.
I think so. I mean, you're the more attractive one, so I look more like Harry and you look more like Meghan, but we'll go with it.
Like, what's your view on the Royals? We might as well talk about the Royals because apparently we all love them over here. So are you a Royalist yourself? Because I'm certainly not.
So, you know, as an American, you know, you're born into thinking 100%, you know, tear down the monarchy, you know, we're revolutionaries and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, honestly speaking, though, you grow up watching all these movies about kings and kingdoms and, you know, King Arthur and everything, and if you travel a little bit, you're like, there's a little bit of romanticism to the monarchy, you know, with the history and the tradition. And that being said, it's 2021 and some of the stuff is outdated, but no, I like the monarchy. I got no problem with them. I like Prince Harry especially. He's a bit of a party animal. He has some fun.
Yeah, but Prince Harry's not actually a royal. Don't say that out loud.
Oh yeah, that's right, I forgot he's not a royal anymore.
Okay, so let's go ahead to the game, the Tennessee Titans. First of all, Chiefs Kingdom, if you make it through 60 minutes of me hosting the podcast, then you've done really, really well because Brad is the professional here. The Chiefs obviously went into Nashville on Sunday, and I think it's fair to say that we were all guilty of believing that the Chiefs were going to bounce back after a great second half against the Washington football team. But it wasn't to be. They actually went into Tennessee and got battered, losing 27-3. I'm going to go straight off the bat. What was the most disappointing and surprising thing about Sunday's game?
I mean, the fact that you're able to limit Derrick Henry, you know, and then you still get blown out, you know.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, they march straight down the field. And you think if you can stop the running attack that you stand a chance, but then their passing attack just shreds you. And just, mm-hmm. I mean, they just stomped right on you. Any hope was just destroyed right from the get-go.
It was a funny one because, like, we sat here last week, Brad and I, and we were talking about stopping Derrick Henry and how it was the BO and endo of that game plan. And if the Chiefs managed to do it, then they stood a good chance of winning. But that was reliant on the Chiefs' cornerbacks being able to, like, hold up against the Titans' passing attack. But it just wasn't the case. Like, we made Ryan Tannehill look like Tom Brady at times, and we made AJ Brown look like Randy Moss. It's like it was like the 2007 Patriots watching them. Like, I thought the corners could have probably played better and probably should have. I question why Mike Hughes was in there. I personally would have preferred to have Rashad Fenton in from the start. Obviously, I understand bringing Tre'Varius Ward back in. He's the star. He's the guy that's got you there. He's been there for a number of years now and played well. But when you've got three cornerbacks on the field, like, I was surprised it was Snead, Ward, and Hughes and not Fenton Ward and Sneek, because they did look better when Fenton came into the game later on.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the way Fenton plays too, he plays aggressive with a chip on his shoulder. He's a guy mm-hmm. who I think he's determined, almost like Sneed was last year, to kind of make his mark and make his yeah. name for himself on the team. If you look at his stats and his like PFF rating, he's far and away the best defensive back the Chiefs have right now. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he wasn't in the game, I mean, but you know, one thing that I thought was a point of emphasis is that the Chiefs needed to get out to a fast start, and the Chiefs, Andy Reid likes to defer to the second half, but he chose to defer on this one. I thought we should have received, you know, if you can get yeah. up 7-0 on the Titans and then make them, you know, try to play from behind. I thought that was important. We didn't do it. And you know what happened?
You've actually nicked one of my points there. I was going to make this further down the road about a potential tactical change for the Chiefs going forward. And I think it's something the Chiefs should probably adopt going forward from now on, is taking the ball if at all possible. Before we get into that, by the way, how unbelievably lucky are the Chiefs with coin tosses, by the way? They seem to win every single way. Like, you turn on the broadcast and it's, oh, the Chiefs have won the coin toss and they elect to defer. Like, seriously, Andy Reid or whoever the captain is needs to get themselves into a casino and just put like loads of money on red, because they would win every single time. But back to the actual point. Yeah, let's end defer, because if the Chiefs come out on defense first out of their own choosing, and then the other team just marches down the field and score 7 points relatively easily, you're automatically putting the Chiefs in a hole, starting the game off on a negative. So why can't we just put our best foot forward and start rolling with the offense first, regardless of the opponent? Let's put the other team in that negative spiral to begin with. If the Chiefs don't come out and score on their first drive, then fair enough. The other team have probably done something really well and deserved it. But chances are, the way this Chiefs offense can play and has played for 75% this season, they are going to go out and get points on the board. So I do think there needs to be a slight tactical mindset, because when it doesn't work out, the whole deferring, it really can be quite disastrous. Like look at the Chiefs in that 2 minute drill on Sunday. Like, they had a chance to score before the half and after the half, and it would have made it a 10-point game. And what happened? I think was that the one where Mahomes fumbled the ball and we lost yeah. it, and then we're still 24-0 down, and then we come out the half, we don't score points out the drive. It's just, it doesn't always work out. So why not just go for it and let our offense do their thing first?
Well, especially when you're playing a team like the Titans, where when is Derrick Henry going to be the most effective? When they're playing from in front. Mm-hmm. So why are you giving them the opportunity to play to their strength right off the bat, you know? I mean, you gave them the advantage on the very first drive by letting them go down and score and take the lead. Even though Derrick Henry was limited, you had to pay extra attention and pack the box, which made their passing attack more effective, because they could run the ball with Derrick Henry yeah. if they wanted to. They chose yeah. not to. We act like we limited Derrick Henry and we shut him down. Yeah, we held them to 3 yards a carry, but they didn't really care, because yeah. they could just pass the ball to the top, because we had to pack the box because we were playing from behind.
Exactly. And running back Twitter, anti-running back Twitter, will make it seem like the running backs don't matter because Derrick Henry wasn't effective. He was highly effective because of what you're saying, because the Chiefs had to give him so much attention. And until the Chiefs can prove that they can defend the run with a lighter box or even just like 6 or 7 guys, then teams are going to continue to take advantage of matchups, because they're all over they're everywhere to be had for opposing offenses at the moment. It's quite depressing. Overall, do you think we should read into the second half of the performance from the defense? I think the Titans just took their foot off the pedal, personally, or gas, as you would say.
Yeah, I don't think you can read anything into it any more than you can read anything against the second half against Washington. Yeah, they're two different halves, because one was against a much inferior team than mm-hmm. the Washington Redskins. But that second half against Washington was fool's gold. They weren't as good as they seemed there, and yeah. Titans weren't as bad as they seemed in the second half against us. I think that whole second half, you can't take anything from it, because guess what? You gave up, what, 20, was it 27 points in the first half? Mm-hmm. The game was already over, you know, yeah. like you were on pace to giving up 52. It's I don't care what you did in the second half. Your first half was so bad that it doesn't matter.
Exactly. The Chiefs now rank 29th in points allowed this season. But had the Titans just scored like a single touchdown in that second half, then we would have been dead last at the moment. So it's not good at all. Where does the defense go from here? How can it get better going forward? Is there anything that can be done right now?
I mean, aside from adding a player or two, I mean, honestly, they have two quality linebackers right now, it seems like, in Nick Bolton and Willie Gay. And then that third person is going to be Ben Neiman, or you put Hutchins back on the field. And neither one of those right now are good solutions. Mm-hmm. I think that you'd start with putting Bolton in at the mic, and you start with putting Fenton on the outside, and you roll with Thornhill and Matthew in the back end, and you just go from there.
What about the D-line? Surely the Chris Jones experiment has to end now, because like Jaron Reed's not getting it done on the inside. Derek Nardi's slowly but surely getting back to health. Turk Wharton's had flashes. Colin Saunders had flashes, but we're seeing absolutely nothing from Jaron Reed this season at all. What, $9 million he's going to earn this year? And I think it'd be the last dollars that he earns as a Kansas City Chief, that is for sure. So maybe kick Chris Jones back inside. But if we do that, who plays outside? Mike Dana on a full-time role?
I mean, that's what you're saying. I know, because that's the problem with kicking Chris Jones back inside, is that, yeah, those guys have had splashes. But when we talk about splashes, we're talking about maybe five combined plays from all of them on the course of the year. And the rest of the plays, they're just horrible, you know? Yeah. So we have five great plays out of them, but I mean, there's nobody on the outside. There's nobody on the inside.
Sorry, Rocky. This is the first time we've ever chatted. Now, I really wish we were talking and meeting for the first time in a different scenario, because you just sound so beat up, man. I don't know if this is your normal demeanor, but you just sound like you're just ready to give up.
Never. I mean, in 2012, I went to every single Chiefs home game, and I literally spent 25% of my earnings that year going to Chiefs games.
Wow.
That was the low point as a Chiefs fan for me. I mean, I've been through the pits and we've been to the highs, and I love this team no matter what. But I mean, you also got to be honest about the state of the franchise right now. And I think that anytime you got Mahomes and Reed, you're in a good spot. Like, we're going to come through this, but this season the roster's in a rough spot, and you just got to be honest about it.
Yeah. Were you a paper bag jobby on the head? Did you get that plane for Scott Pioli? Was that you?
No, I didn't get that plane for Scott Pioli, but I definitely, I actually, there's a famous in between my friends where I got blocked by Brandon Flowers, because when Brandon Carr got his big contract with the Cowboys, I may have tweeted at Brandon Flowers that I wanted all my money back I spent for the year, and he blocked me. I recently checked, though, and I'm no longer blocked, so maybe it's let bygones be bygones. And if Brandon Flowers ever hears this, I'm sorry for my younger Rocky Magadia's, you know, angry Twitter rampage when I was making like $23,000 a year and spending all my money on cheese games.
Well, do you know, actually, Brandon Flowers, I think he lives in London right now.
Does he?
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah. So, I'm actually going to a Killers gig in next year. So I'm tempted. I've got a Brandon Flowers jersey upstairs. I might wear the Brandon Flowers jersey to a Killers gig and see if anyone gets confused by all the flowers going on. But anyways, I digress. Let's turn to the offense, because they had a part to play in this as well, because the defense was bad, but we've come to expect that from the defense now. Offensively, we just couldn't get anything going against the Titans. We expected the Titans to pretty much lay down and let the Chiefs pass all over them after they lost so many members of their secondary before the game. But it wasn't the case. The Titans done what every team seems to do against the Chiefs in the moment, is rush with four, drop seven into coverage, make sure that Tyreek Hill can't beat them over the top, and then just try and manhandle everyone underneath and see what they can get away with. And it's exactly what they did get away with. Like, it's not to blame the referees, by the way. I'm not blaming the refs in any way, shape or form. But how long until we question the Chiefs and say, well, what are you going to do about this?
Well, I mean, I think we've been questioning that wide receiver two spot, you know, for quite some time. And the questions continue, because besides Tyreek Hill, nobody else can see any green grass. And And you got, I don't think Travis Kelce's right. I mean, he got banged up, we know this, but he was still out there on the field, but he's obviously not 100% right now. Mahomes is pressing, everybody knows that. So, I mean, it was a bad game. I mean, and you're going to have these. And it's almost one of those games where you just take the tape and you bury it and you move on, because there's no real positives to take from this other than the fact that Mahomes did not get a concussion. That's the positive.
Yeah. Where did you stand on that? Because I'm not going to lie. Someone was tweeting saying, it was my boys at Arrowheads Abroad. They were tweeting about taking the starters out of the game with about 10 minutes left. And I quote tweeted it myself and said, don't do that. They're not playing well enough to deserve a rest. Like basically keep them in there, see if they can work something out. And then 3 minutes later, what happens? Mahomes gets decked in the legs and in the head, and he's on the floor. And all of a sudden, I felt like a bit of a silly bugger because what I tweeted three minutes before. Where do you stand on that? Should the Chiefs taken out the starters earlier, or is it just something? It's just an unfortunate event.
No, I mean, I think they got to stay out there. I mean, you get paid to play the game, and just because you didn't play well, like you said, you shouldn't get to be taken out of the game. That being said, the moment that Mahomes got hit, even if he was okay, I was like, okay, say that he was injured for the rest of the game and just pull him out at that point to protect Mahomes and use that shot as an excuse to pull Mahomes, and that way he's not being benched or pulled out of the game for performance. But for the rest of the players, I mean, leave him out there. Yeah, I mean, it's your bed. You got to lay in it. I mean, if I have a bad day, I don't just get to, you know, put my hand up and say, hey, take me out, you know, so.
Yeah, I've never actually likened football in that sense to real world life, actually. Yeah, just imagine me at work. Oh, yeah, I've just can't be bothered. I'm doing so badly that I just underperform every day. It gets to 3 o'clock. So I'm having the worst day, boss. I might as well go.
I have an 8-month-old baby, and he likes to wake up at 4 a.m. and he goes back down pretty easily. But imagine if, 5 minutes into me trying to put him back down, he wasn't going down. If I just put my hand up and just said, this isn't working out for me right now, I'm just gonna walk away. I can't handle this at this moment.
It's fine. Yeah. You can just cry yourself to sleep. I've got that to come. I've got a new baby due in 4 weeks' time, which should be fun. So when I sound all tired on the podcast in about 6 or 7 weeks' time, you know exactly why.
If you're listening to this, send Tom a case of Red Bull. Immediately, he will need it.
Patrick Mahomes, you mentioned it a minute ago about him pressing. Is that the only thing that's wrong with him at the moment, or do you think he's just in a rut?
I think he's trying to throw for 7 points on every single play, or even more so, he's trying to throw a 14-point pass, each time. And he's got to take what the defense gives you and just be patient. I think he feels like he has to be Michael Jordan out there on every single drive because the defense is struggling to get stops. And if you look at it, his mistakes usually don't come within the first couple of drives. It's once we're already down a couple of scores and he feels like if we don't score on this drive, then it's done. Obviously there's been the fluke interceptions and that stuff comes back to the mean at some point, but I mean, I think that he just feels like the whole world's on his shoulders at this moment.
Yeah, I would be inclined to agree. I struggle with jumping on Patrick Mahomes for really 2 bad games so far this season, because he's been pretty good. Some of the turnovers are his fault, admittedly, but in general, he's been pretty okay with the ball. I sent you a stat before this show, and it's from PFF about turnover worthy throws. You know that stat that we all wanted to ignore last year is when they produced it to anti Mahomes last year. We're like, it doesn't count. Well, this year, it's kind of working in his favor. They're saying that he's tied for 12th when it comes to turnover worthy throws, and that's like Rodgers, Herbert, Jackson. It's tying with them guys, and everyone's saying how well they are playing. So maybe Mahomes is playing okay and being relatively safe with the football most of the time. He's just being unlucky, because when his receivers are letting him down, they're ending in interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that we talk about Aaron Rodgers with that, because if you remember Aaron Rodgers in 2019, a lot of people were saying, oh, put a fork in Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is, he's fallen off. He's done all this stuff. Well, the fact of the matter was that in 2019 in Green Bay, on that roster, you had Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, and that was about it, right? I mean, so he just like Mahomes is now, he was trying to do everything and trying to do too much. And it wasn't until he went back and looked at the film in the offseason and said, I just got to play within the structure of the game a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then he's an MVP again, you know, and he's the toast of the town. So, I mean, I think that's where Mahomes is at. He's just trying to, he's kind of like Aaron Rodgers in 2019.
What do you reckon Andy Reid can do to help him out in terms of the offense? Because at the moment, you're saying about like he's going for like 14 point plays every time. That must mean like that he has players running vertically. That's what he's going for. That's what he wants. He wants the big play. Surely Andy Reid can start drawing up some stuff for players underneath. Like we all remember like Alex Smith making a living off checking down to Jamal Charles. Okay, granted Darrell Williams isn't Jamal Charles, but he can still catch a football. So why can't we get him open? Why can't we get tight ends open underneath? Like, why does it have to be Travis Kelce? Why can't it be Noah Gray? Why can't it be Darrell Williams? Why can't it be Byron Pringle? One of the receivers is actually playing quite well. And Mahomes seems to trust this year. He's like, whenever Byron Pringle seems to get any form of separation, Mahomes is slinging it to him. So why can't Andy Reid do something about the players that will contribute as opposed to focus on the players that don't contribute, the likes of Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, somebody else besides Alex Smith, who kind of made a living on the short passing game, if you think about it early on in Indianapolis, Peyton Manning used to just hit Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne on slant pattern after slant pattern, yeah. You know, just quick hitters over the middle. And I don't think that Mahomes necessarily trusts Tyreek Hill's hands at the moment enough to try to go slant pattern single time. He's had more than one of those that have popped up for interceptions. But somebody like Byron Pringle, you know, or a Jerick McKinnon, you know, who are pretty good, and Darrell Williams, who have some pretty good hands out of the backfield, I think with some of those secondary receivers, you can start doing some of those more quick hitter plays, you know, right off the bat, especially if you're going to have defenses expecting the Chiefs to go vertically and play in softer coverage. Mm-hmm. Then take that 5-yard pass and then get 3 yards after the catch, and you got to set yourself up for a second and two, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And then obviously there's the other part of the offense, the forgotten part of the offense on Sunday night, the run game. Like this offensive line was built to run the football, right? Like I know originally when Brett Veach manufactured this offensive line, it was all about protecting Patrick Mahomes. But whether he done it by accident or by design, he inadvertently created this really good run blocking offensive line, and we're not using them. Like, is it because Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't in the game, or is it because he would just rather Patrick Mahomes throw the ball, or is it because the Chiefs are getting down early and they feel like they have to pass their way out of a game? I know he mentioned it a little bit on Sunday about how they went to the pass too early and they shouldn't have abandoned the run as early as they did. But are we going to see the Chiefs go back to power running like they did against like good teams last year when it was the Buffalo Bills we played on Monday Night Football? And they were expected to match up well against the Chiefs. The Chiefs just ran all over him. Why can't we get back to that sort of plan? Sorry to interrupt. And this has come from someone that said on this podcast, literally like 5 weeks ago after the Baltimore loss, saying, stop handing the ball off. Just let Patrick Mahomes run it. Like let Patrick Mahomes throw it. And I admit that I was completely wrong. Like relying on Patrick Mahomes and his arm by itself is, I have now realized, is a bad idea. And it puts too much pressure on him. So maybe the Chiefs should kind of lean towards a run game potentially.
Yeah, I think that Andy Reid's hesitant to take the ball out of his best player's hands, you know, especially if he needs a big play. But like you said, this offensive line, you know, especially behind up the middle, behind Thuney, Humphrey, and Smith, I mean, they're built to make holes. They made Darrell Williams in the second half against Washington. I mean, he looked like a Pro Bowl caliber running back, you know, and I mean, I like Darrell Williams, but he's not a Pro Bowl caliber running back at this point in his career. And, and so, yes, they should be running the ball more, especially to take some pressure off of Mahomes. Because when you have in the second half, when it seems like Mahomes is rushing the ball more than your running back, then you got a problem.
Do you know what? I didn't realize. I actually looked at the stats earlier for the game, and yeah, Patrick Mahomes leading the team in rushing attempts is just mad. I just don't get it. I really don't. Just either let him pass or let him hand the ball off or let him pass short to a running back. Anyways, I've had enough of talking about that game because like, I'm annoyed I had to talk about it anyway. I thought I was going to get the week off when Brad said he couldn't make it. And that's no offense to you. I just thought, great, this is the perfect game that I don't have to talk about. Brilliant. I don't have to rewatch any of it. And I unfortunately had to rewatch a little bit. But so let's take a break. And then when we get back, we'll talk about the power rankings, the AP power rankings, and then look ahead to Monday Night Football against the Giants.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Great British Chief Show with myself, Tom Childs, and Rocky Magania. I'll pronounce it properly this time after our little interval and our quick chat. Let's have a quick look at the Arrowhead Pride Power Rankings, which you do hold a vote in. Unlike Brad never gets a vote, but you do hold a vote. So collectively, we dropped the Chiefs this week from 9th to 15th. I was harsh on the Chiefs. I admitted this on my little chat with Pete yesterday, which you can find on arrowheadpride.com, that I ranked the Chiefs 18th because right now I don't trust them against most teams, 17 other teams, in fact. So I had them 18th. Where did you have them in yours?
I think I actually had them 19th.
Wow.
It was either 17 or 19 that I had them. And then most of that is because at some point you are your record, and if you start going down the list, and you start looking at teams that have better records, whether or not you think that they actually have more talented rosters is besides the point. Mm-hmm. You know, they've gone out on the field in one game, schedule aside. And so I'm not going to rank the Chiefs after that bad of a loss ahead of a team who won on Sunday and has a winning record. So by default, I think I made them one of the higher ranked 3 and 4 teams. But
yeah,
I mean, I wasn't going to, you know, give them the spot that they didn't earn.
No, yeah, you're right there. And you summed it up perfectly. Like early in the season when the Chiefs lost to the Baltimore Ravens, I think that was week 2, wasn't it? And they were 1-1. And we took a bit of heat for having the Chiefs still number 2 in the power rankings because they had a worse record than a lot of other teams. But at that point, you can kind of get away with it because we don't really know who the teams are in week 2. But as you rightly said, here we are week 7 and the Chiefs are just a bad football team. They have a lot of talent, and on their day, they can be as good as any team in this league. But until they show us consistently that they can, or even just once, it would be nice that they can get to that sort of level, then they're going to continue to drop. And I'd like to think that this will be the floor for the Chiefs this year, but I would have said that at 10, but 2 weeks ago as well. I genuinely thought after the Washington game, the Chiefs were going to go, after they went up to 9th, I thought that was it. The climb back to the top is underway, but little did we know what was to follow. Looking at the other part of the rankings, you've got the Raiders now creeping around that top 10, just one spot outside it. You've got the Chargers in the top 10. Are the Chiefs like that far behind in terms of their division?
No, they're not. I mean, it's still within striking distance. I mean, it's going to be tough for them to catch up to the Chargers. I think, I mean, the Chargers, you know, they have a pretty easy sledding the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if we're going to win the West. I mean, I think at this point right now we're kind of eyeballing a wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the second wild card spot, to be honest.
Second. Wow. I think, like, again, another stat I sent you or a tweet I sent you before we started, like, we have the hardest schedule left for the rest of the season. It feels like we've had the hardest schedule already. In fact, we have had the hardest schedule already through 7 weeks, and it stays just as hard. Like, our opponents have a combined winning record of 41-26 for the next 10 games. Like, it's not getting any easier for the Chiefs. Yes, they're going to have potentially an easier week on Monday night, but after that, it gets really hard really quite quickly. And you're looking at a situation where the Chiefs are going to go into the bye week, most likely with a losing record. Like, I put it as headlines yesterday about the Chiefs missing out on the playoffs, and I think it's going to happen. I do sit here. I don't think the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs because I think the offense can turn it around. I do. I don't think they're going to stay bad for very long. I think Andy Reid and Mahomes will figure it out. I just cannot, for love nor money, trust this defense. I just can't. I'm going back to the Titans game briefly here, but like, the Chiefs couldn't even have a bad half offensively and they were out of the game. Like, the defense couldn't even hold up their end of the bargain for a half, a single half. And like, everyone wants to get on with the offense, but they can't be great all the time. They are going to be bad from time and again. It's just going to happen. And we're in a position now where if they're not great, the chances are the Chiefs are going to lose a game. And right now, the Chiefs' offense isn't great, so the defense aren't going to be the reason why the Chiefs get any wins. They're only going to be the reason why they get losses. Like, hand on heart, let's be honest, over the last 3 years, how much of the Chiefs' success can we put down to the defense?
I mean, not just the last 3 years. I mean, go back to Gunther Cunningham's first stint in Kansas City, and that's when you could put it down to the defense. I mean, if we're honest as Chiefs fans, historically, since 2000, we haven't had good defenses. We've had middle of the road defenses and pretty good offenses.
I'm going to question that. I think that's okay. Was it the 2016 team that was pretty good on defense? That was the year that Eric Berry came back, wasn't it? That defense was pretty good. Like, I remember them holding the Pittsburgh Steelers, the killer bees, to 18 points in a playoff game and field goals only. I know you can talk about Le'Veon Bell running for 260 odd yards or whatever it was, but they still held them to 18 points. And if anything, it was the offense that didn't hold up their end of the bargain during that time. But right now, man, this defense sucks. It really does suck. And Tyrann Mathieu, he's probably going to at me again for calling him out. But it's just, come on, like, make a play. Like, at least show the world that the Chiefs aren't so one-dimensional. But I just don't trust them to do it. And that's the reason why I don't think the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs. I'm sorry, I know we were meant to be talking about rankings. I just went off and talked about the playoffs. But right now, I just can't trust this team. And I just can't do it. And I think if come the middle of January, because it's later, obviously, this year, I think we're going to be watching the playoffs, like, not in Chiefs jerseys. We're going to be watching them at home and thinking that should be us.
Well, I mean, if you look at the playoff picture right now, I mean, we're almost halfway through the season, and I'm looking at the standings as we speak, and the Chargers are currently in second place in our division because they were on bye week. So you got the Chargers ahead of us in the wild card. You have the Ravens ahead of us, and you have the Browns ahead of us, and then you have the Steelers and Broncos tied with us, and the Patriots tied with us, and the Colts tied with us. So you're going to come out as one of the top two people in that whole situation. I mean, I don't think you come out on top of the Browns and Ravens at this point. No. I mean, I think at some point the Raiders are going to slide, and that my prediction is the Chargers will probably win the division. But you're not going to finish the season better than the Ravens and Browns with the schedule that we have coming up. I mean, we still have to play the Packers and the Cowboys. Do you think that those are going to be wins?
No chance. At this not point? Right now.
Or the Bengals. We still have to play the Bengals as well. The Bengals are playing lights out.
Mm-hmm. But another team you have to look at is the Patriots. Like, I know they only just like beat the Jets. They beat the Jets 54, whatever it was. And that's a great win for them. But they can, with Bill Belichick, and if Matt Jones turns it on, they're going to be on the playoff hunt. Carson Wentz seems to be working out a little bit better for the Indianapolis Colts these days. Like, and all of these teams are far more balanced than us. Far more balanced, maybe outside of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're one-dimensional the other way. But we've got to play them as well. We've still got to play them as well. Like, it's just, it's a bad, bad situation for this team to be in right now. And I just, yeah, I'm not hopeful, which is bad considering I am quite the optimist in general when it comes to this particular Chiefs team.
Well, and there's definitely players on this team that you love and you want to root for, and especially even on the defense. We talked about Tyrann Mathieu a moment ago. Listen, he added you on Twitter. The thing is that the bulletin board quotes and talking about accountability and all this stuff is wonderful, and the getting better every day, all these things are wonderful to talk about. But if there's no action on the field to back it up, then it's just talk at that point. And I would love to see the action on the field. And this is no disrespect to anybody in the Chiefs locker room. I know they're working hard, and I know they're all doing their best. Like, there's no part of me that thinks that this team is just not trying to win. But the fact of the matter is that you're in the NFL, you're in a very competitive industry, and right now you're not doing a good enough job at your job.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I would love to see just something to show us that we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, we need to see it on the field. Like, I'm not big on the whole talk thing, because every team talks. Every single team, every single week says this stuff, these inspirational quotes. Like, every single team has a huddle before the game where they get their hype man and they hype each other up. Like, the Jets would have done it this weekend. They would have been up for the game beforehand. We're going to have our way with the Patriots, blah, 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 blah. And then they concede 54 points. The Chiefs would have done it on Sunday. We're going to stop Derrick Henry. We're going to stop Ryan Tannehill, blah, 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 blah. We're going to dominate, and then they go and get battered by the Titans. I'm not one for talking in general. I think sometimes actions speak louder than words, and none more so than what we need to see in the next few weeks. Anyways, let's look at next week, because we digressed massively there. We were meant to be talking about power rankings, and we ended up talking about the doom and gloom of the Chiefs not making the playoffs. This week, the Chiefs welcome in the New York Giants into Arrowhead for Gerhard Field at Arrowhead Stadium, shall I say, for Monday Night Football. If I remember rightly, I think the last time that the Giants played in Arrowhead was a game where Dexter McCluster had like an all-world punt return, if I remember rightly. Back when Dave Tube's special teams were really good, back in the day. Do you remember those days? Actually, you're talking about good defenses. That 2013 defense was really good. That was a good defense.
So let me qualify. Yes, those defenses were good. The Chiefs haven't had a great defense, a defense where you count on them to win the game since back in the day. We're talking, yes.
No, Rocky. That 2013 season when Alex Smith was certainly what the Chiefs went 9-0, and they won those first nine games on the back of good special teams and defensive touchdowns. That's basically, I think, the first game of the season, Tamba Hali got a safety against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then Eric Berry got a pick six against Philadelphia in week two, was it? And then you had Giants against the Giants, Dexter McCluster getting a punt. Like, the Chiefs had a good defense. They had a good defense in 2013 that won them games. I think you need to admit that one.
I looked it up. So in 2013, the Chiefs had the 10th best ranked defense. So they were a top 10 defense in 2013.
What metric, just though? Barely. Yeah, but what metric are we talking about? You're talking about yards, which is like the worst passing worst defensive metric of the lot. It is yards, isn't it? It's yards you're talking about, isn't it? It's yards.
It is yards.
Yeah, exactly. It's the worst. That's the worst metric to measure a defense on. Yeah, I can't stand it. Like, for me, defensive metrics should be based on one thing, or maybe two things. Turnovers, because that's the main thing which makes them important, isn't it? Like, especially in today's NFL, turnovers are king, and points allowed. That's it. Where do they rank on points allowed in that year?
Oh, you're not going to like this.
Oh, no.
All right. So the Chiefs Chiefs 2013 defense on points allowed was, let's see here, we'll go with points per game. They were sixth.
Oh, there we go.
Points per game. On points per game.
There we go. There we go. Point proven. Point proven.
Yeah.
They were a good defense. They were a good defense.
Okay. They were a good defense.
That was the last true time the Chiefs were heavier in terms of defensive talent as opposed to offensive talent. Anyways, I digressed again. Let's get back to the Giants game. We've only got like, 10, 15 minutes left until we have to call it a day. Like, I apologize. So the Giants come into Arrowhead on Monday night. And despite what's happened in the last few weeks, the Giants were one of the teams that we actually had ranked lower than the Chiefs in the AP rankings. Is it fair to say, despite all of the problems, that this should be a get-right game for the Chiefs?
Yeah, it should be a get-right game. They're missing their best player in Saquon Barkley. I mean, their offense is pretty anemic without him. Sterling Shepard is still out, I believe. I don't think he's back yet. I mean, so this should be a team that the defense should be able to keep in check. And I'm putting that in a very bold, italicized, quotated should.
Yeah.
But, you know, it should be a good get-right game. And then after this game, if the Chiefs play well, a lot of people will be saying, oh, look, the Chiefs got right. The Chiefs are good again. And it's going to be one of those things, just like after the Washington game, they're going to roll right in and play a good team again the following week. And it's going to be the Titans all over again.
Yeah, I was about to ask that, actually. Like, how much can we actually take from the Chiefs beating the Giants? Like, to me, it's like a no-win situation for the Chiefs. Like, if they beat the Giants, it's like, oh, great, you've done what you should have done. If they lose to the Giants, it's a disaster and everyone's calling for people's heads. So, like, I personally don't think you can really take much from this game. I'm more interested in result over performance. Because even if they do play well, it's like, so what? The Packers are going to come into town the following week and give a completely different challenge. So for me, first and foremost, Monday is about getting the win, getting to 500. Because if you lose Monday night, that you can kiss the playoffs goodbye.
Well, 100%. And I think there's the old saying that people say good teams beat bad teams, but that's not true. Average teams beat bad teams. And good teams beat average teams.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how it's been so far. The Chiefs aren't a bad team. They're just an average team so far this year.
Yeah.
And so I expect them to go in and beat the Giants and then roll in against a good team in Green Bay. And we'll see. They have an opportunity to prove us wrong and prove that they deserve to be back in that good team tier. But they have to show – we're at that show me phase, right? You know, we're not at that – no more – we're not going to assume – you know, that you're good anymore. You have to actually prove it to us.
Yeah. And I'm looking back at 2017 when we last played the Giants in New York. And I think, I can't remember what game was first. It was either the Giants or the Jets, but it was a two-game stretch where we played both the New York teams. And we lost quite badly to both of them, especially the Giants. Like, at the time, I think the Chiefs were rolling at that point in that 2017 season. And then, okay, granted, it wasn't Patrick Mahomes, but then Andy Reid took his Chiefs team into New York and basically just made a hash of the whole thing. And I think Travis Kelce threw an interception in that game. I think it was one of those crazy games. And I think the following week, Marcus Peters decides to throw a referee's flag into the crowd. It was a really weird stretch.
Took off his socks also, I think.
Yeah, and then wanted to come back and play in his socks. Yeah. What a guy. I love Marcus Peters, I'm not going to lie.
I like that sort of attitude out of your defensive backs, you know. I think you have to have that sort of swagger to play defensive back in the NFL, and sometimes it blows up on you. But let me ask you a question. So considering the sort of situation the Chiefs find themselves in where mistakes have been killing them, right? Mm-hmm. Coming into this next two-game stretch against the Giants and then the Green Bay Packers, would you prefer to have a safer quarterback like an Alex Smith to get right, to kind of control the bleeding a little bit at this point, or are you still rolling with your gunslinger Mahomes? And I'm not saying that I'm pro Alex Smith over Patrick Mahomes by any means. I just want to know your feelings on the situation.
Rocky. No, I can't believe you just asked me that question. Like, come on. Come on, man. Like, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes here. Come on, like, he's not playing the greatest football of his career. He's probably playing the worst football of his career. But guess who else has had bad stretches in their career? Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, you talked about earlier, gone through bad patches. The only way to get better is to carry on playing football. There is nothing to be achieved by benching Patrick Mahomes. What is he going to possibly learn from the bench right now, as opposed to like being on the field and seeing what's going wrong? He has to experience it firsthand. I'm interested to see how Patrick Mahomes actually handles adversity, because he said it the other day, it's all been flowers and rainbows for him since he's been in the NFL, which is entirely true. He has made us the most arrogant fan base in the entire NFL. Like, the amount of crap that I'm getting at the moment from my friends are here in England, because I've just been like Mahomes' biggest fanboy for the last 3 or 4 years, and like, they're sick to death of me talking about like Patrick Mahomes. On Sunday, when he throws interceptions and plays badly, I get sent gifts galore by all of my friends. Like, they are loving this. And there's no one more that I want to succeed right now than Patrick Mahomes. So when he does turn it around, because he will go on this revenge tour on the NFL, and he will come after every single person that's ever said anything bad about him, because we know he's petty like that. We've seen it before with the count in his fingers and all of that. He is petty. He keeps it all up there in his head. When he does eventually go on this revenge tour, it is going to be beautiful, because he is going to work out this cover two defense. I say work it out. It's not like it's his kryptonite. He's going to work some things out. He's going to get back on track. The offense is going to get back on track. It might not happen this year, but it will happen. And when it does, it's going to be wonderful. But the only way for it to happen is to keep him on the field. So while I appreciate the question and I understand why you would think that, there's no way in hell I could possibly like take Patrick Mahomes off the field, especially for someone that's like the anti-Mahomes in Alex Smith.
Let me qualify that statement by saying I didn't think we should have,
okay,
have somebody like Alex Smith. No, I 100% agree with you. Good man, you answered the question correctly. I do not believe that you should ever take Patrick Mahomes off the field unless you're winning by 35 points. So, no,
so you're qualified by saying you're not backtracking. You agree with me.
I agree with you 100%. All along, I agreed with you. I just wanted your take on it. 100%. Before I get killed in the comments section, I think that Patrick Mahomes is the way to go.
It's not like doctor, my friend has a problem type question.
No, not at all. Not even slightly.
Oh god! Right, this show. I'm getting into it now. I'm happy. 45 minutes in, and like, I automatically feel better about the Chiefs than I did 45 minutes ago. Like, I come onto this show 45 minutes ago. Right, guys, how you doing? Yeah, let's talk about the Chiefs. Yeah, they suck all the way. But now, when I'm started talking about Patrick Mahomes and the potential of Patrick Mahomes being really good again, I'm kind of like getting up. I feel myself, I might get onto my friends in a minute and just like start messaging like memes of Mahomes and stuff like that, like, you know, really like G myself up before Monday Night Football. But anyways, back to Monday Night Football for the fourth time this show. Who are the ones to watch on both sides of the ball this week?
Well, I think if you start out with the Chiefs, I think the ones to watch is Josh Gordon going to make an impact in the football game? I mean, I think that's one to watch. I think, is Orlando Brown going to have a rebound game after a pretty rough pass protection outing last week? Is another one to watch. And then on the defense, I mean, are we going to be able to generate any pressure? I mean, we're talking the whole front four. We're going to have, if we can get Daniel Jones off his spot, he's pretty mobile, but if we can put pressure on him and make him make bad decisions, then we may be able to get a couple of turnovers, because he is prone to tossing the ball away.
Yeah, for sure. Do you know he's their leading rusher and passer so far this season, Daniel Jones?
He is sneaky. They always say like somebody is sneaky quick, but he's not even sneaky quick. He is athletic. He's a pretty fast guy. You know, he doesn't look like it. If you saw him on the street, you wouldn't say, you know, I would not be able to beat that man in a foot race, but yeah. I could absolutely not beat that man in a foot race.
I hear that quite a lot, you know, being like a tall athletic guy myself. You're like, people go, oh, he doesn't look very quick. And they see me running and then they know he's lightning. No, that was a lie. When I run, it's like an earthquake.
You're a premier defensive back in England. Yeah.
Natty champ. And apparently an Emmy winner now, apparently as well.
Yeah, but no, yeah, congratulations on your Emmy on your Emmy victory.
No. I can't take credit for the Emmy. I cannot do that. No, but I'll shelve that one for when Brad's back, because I no doubt he will definitely want to talk about that particular thing. On the Giants, I'm looking forward to seeing how the Chiefs potentially abuse Reggie Ragland, because like when Reggie Ragland was here, we all know he can't stick around in coverage. We know he's bad in coverage. Like, we've seen it firsthand. Whenever he got to passing downs, Reggie Ragland always got taken out. So if you see Reggie Ragland on the field, like, do something, Andy Reid. Like target that man. Like, he's in the middle of that defense. Like, make him run. Make him vacate his spot. Make him cover Travis Kelce if he has to. Make him cover a running back. Get clever. You don't want to go after like the likes of Logan Ryan and the guys they've got on the back end, like James Bradbury. They're good players. They're gonna get theirs. Target the weak links. Let's go after Reggie Ragland. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing what Andy Reid can do on Monday night.
You know, to that, I would love to see the Chiefs come out in like a jumbo formation, like a two tight end set, and then with like Noah Gray, and then just shift him out into the slot and make Reggie Ragland have to try to shift out into the slot and defend somebody in space. That would make me very happy to see the Chiefs do on Monday night.
So we're predicting the Noah Gray breakout game. Like, Kyle Pitts has had his breakout now. Let's see TE2 of this draft class breakout, shall we? On the Chiefs side, I think I have to say Patrick Mahomes. I have to. He has to bounce back. He's coming off the worst game of his career. And we need to see how he handles adversity. We just talked about it a minute ago. So for me, the one to watch is Patrick Mahomes. Defensively, I'd quite like to see if Tyrann Mathieu can get back to making splash plays. Like, he's been good. He's not been bad this year. He's been good, and he's been let down by some of the guys around him. But this Chiefs defense, this particular Chiefs defense, plays best when Tyrann Mathieu has kind of been like that Swiss Army knife they talk about, and when he's making off-script plays and he's the one getting the turnovers. Yes, we saw it against the Ravens where he got a couple of turnovers, and unfortunately it didn't actually amount to a win. But let's see if Tyrann Mathieu can get back on track in that sense, because we are so used to him being a ball hawk in and around the ball. Let's get him at the line of scrimmage. Let's get him jumping routes. Let's see the Tyrann Mathieu that we're so used to.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see the Tyrann Mathieu that we're used to. I mean, the Tyrann Mathieu that we're used to is a disruptive force, you know, in the defense. And I think that if it's whether the fact that he feels like he needs to be in multiple places at once, or he's, you know, kind of trying to do everything, since his first game back, he hasn't really been that disruptive force. He's been solid, like you said, but he hasn't been that game changer.
Yeah, do you think he's like suffering maybe the similar sort of thing that we're saying about Patrick Mahomes, where there's such high expectations of them two personally that eventually the pressure is going to become too much and the expectations are going to become too much that they do begin to crack? And that's potentially what we're seeing in both Mathieu and Mahomes.
Yes, I do. I think especially though in defense, you know, it's so hard to play, you know, it's so hard just to play in the secondary, period. Mm-hmm. And you're at a disadvantage from the moment the ball is snapped. And then if you listen to, you know, kind of, you know, what he's been saying throughout the course of the year, if you compound that with people not lining up in the correct position, and then you're kind of caught in that middle ground of, do I bail a little bit to go try to fix this problem and account for it, or do I stay in my assignment and let the big play happen? You know, do I do what's best for the defense, or do I do what's best for me and my assignment? And if you get stuck in that middle ground, it's almost like, you know, a here nor there sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And that doesn't help anyone. So 60 minutes is almost up. Well, it's probably going to be about 50 by the time we've cut down all the mistakes so far that I've made. Not you. You've been pretty squeaky clean so far. You've been turnoverless. I have been full of turnovers so far this show. But that's what happens when you swap out the hosts. Let's get a prediction from you. What's going to happen on Monday night? Are the Chiefs going to get right?
I mean, I have pretty much been wrong every single time this year, you know, especially on my score prediction. But I think the Chiefs do get right. I think the Chiefs win by, you know, more than a touchdown, I'll say. I think it's, okay. I think we win by a touchdown plus, and I think we score over 30. That's what I'll say.
So I've predicted us to score over 30 every game so far this year. And I don't think we do it. I just don't. I think we're going to win. I do, but I just cannot escape this feeling of it being a nervy game. And I don't think it will stay nervy. I think it will be a nervy first half because of the things we've talked about before, like where the Chiefs will defer and they will go down early and it'll be nervy. We might have a couple of failed drives and then see what happens there. But I think the Chiefs do win. I've got the Chiefs getting to 27 points and the Giants getting to 17. A 10-point win, like, I'll take that. I'll take that right now. But I don't think we're going to see the performance that many crave. But more importantly, we are going to get the result. And then they can look ahead to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers coming into Arrowhead on the following week. Because that's going to be the game that tells us a lot about this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a State Farm Bowl, right?
Yeah. So,
and so that's, I mean, if it's, you hate to say it, you know, rolling into week 9, but it's the most important game of the season. That's the ultimate make or break point. If we can beat Green Bay, then okay, we got a shot of climbing out of this. Mm-hmm. Regardless if we beat the Giants this week, which we need to do, we have to beat the Giants, you know, but if we lose to Green Bay, it's a moot point. We're still under 500 at that point. Mm-hmm. But if we beat the Giants and then beat Green Bay, then we're back above 500 and we've shown that we can beat a good team that's not the Browns. Yeah. And we have a way forward.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Right. That's all we've got time for. That's what he normally says, doesn't he? That's what he normally says. Well, thank you for coming on, Rocky. I enjoyed that. I'm kind of hoping now that Brad goes on more holidays so we can get you in. We've got you down as first reserve now. You are now backup to us. You are that first backup. And then, I might have to go and see Brad up north and kick him in the knees or something like that, or kick him in the throat so we can't talk.
I tell you what, the Great British Chiefs Show is low-key. I was a total fanboy before I joined Arrowhead Pride. And I listen to every single episode. So being on here is basically, you know, a podcast bucket list item for me. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for making that up on the fly and telling me lies. But I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Right now, Rocky, it's been nice. It's been nice talking to someone that's slightly more knowledgeable than Brad. Because he wears his heart on his sleeve, bless him, and I wouldn't have him any other way. But it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. If you do want to leave us a rating and review, please head over to Apple Podcasts and tell us what you think. Maybe leave us a review on this particular show. Give us 5 stars and tell us how great Rocky was and how you want him back. But all that's left to say is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.